Thank you. All right, so we're all mic'd. I can hear it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm Justin Lopino. I know we had, I could tell you went off script by leaving the last name out. It's okay. It's Lopino. So yeah, we work at Spire. We'll talk a little bit more about the company soon, but looking forward to talking and taking your questions.
And I'm Jill Pace. I lead talent development. So at Spire, we are the people who do all the org design, succession planning, onboarding, and then learning and development. So today what we're going to do is we're going to spend just a little bit of time giving you a really broad overview of how we went from a very sleepy gas company, which is what we would say in 2006, to a much more contemporary brand. So we're going to do a lot of top line and leave a lot of time at the end for questions, but really we're going to focus on where we were and where we ended up.
Yep. So we were sleepy. We were old. So We operate a lot of different brands. They were almost all formed around the Civil War, so that's about how old. We're the eighth oldest stock on NYSE as well, so just to give a sense, you know, of how long we've been around.
We serve about 1.7 million customers all throughout home and residences across three states, so Mississippi, Missouri, and Alabama.
Yep, and then we have gas-related businesses called Spire Marketing and Spire Storage, and those are based out of Houston, Texas, and Evanston, Wyoming as well.
And then one step for us to start being more contemporary was a few years ago, we were one of the first natural gas companies to commit to being carbon neutral by mid-century. So we've had a lot of other companies join us along the way, but that's one of the first big environmental stances we've taken.
Mm-hmm. All right. So as Jill kind of alluded to, first we're going to take a little trip back in time.
And then we're going to go to 2016. So don't be scared of where we started, because yeah, it's a long process till then.
And this picture is kind of accurate. Well, I'll get into that.
So. Kind of it.
Yep. So looking back to 2016, which wasn't that long ago for many of us, our company and some of these things are the same now as back then, but we're about two-thirds field-based, and I know I've talked to a lot of folks throughout the conference so far that have that similar kind of work makeup and dynamic, which has been a challenge, and then the rest of us, like Jill and I, are office-based, so a lot easier to communicate with us.
And we started as five different companies, so you know. So we've had acquisitions along the last 5 to 10 years. So what that meant was we really didn't have one common mission or one common company to rally around. So we were very siloed, and no one felt like they were part of the same family.
And at that time, about a third of our employees had company-issued mobile devices, and some of those were shared flip phones. So you think back when the last time you had a flip phone was, we had folks using them, you know, 5 or 6 years ago.
And then there's no surprise, like, we liked paper. We printed tons of things and did phone calls. There wasn't a lot of electronic things going on. It was very old school antiquated, right? It was always a handshake, the front door, which is great, but it was like 15 phone calls and things like that. So we were in a different kind of technology age.
Yeah, even our intranet was old school. It was built on an Oracle platform, which was more out of convenience. It's what our IT department was using for other things, like, hey, we could use this for your intranet as well. So it's just kind of an old school traditional intranet.
And then from my end, from talent development, career development existed, but not the way that it does today. So career development existed as if you called someone and said, hey, can I bring in a third party person, or where can I go, what is my career path? But there was nothing proactive being done to really help drive people's careers.
And then we had a lot of other tools, including digital signage, but digital signage at that time was only at one of our kind of gas companies that we operated, so it was not everywhere across our footprint.
And then lastly, we called the people at Spire who are leaders, who have more than one person underneath them, we called them people leaders. We weren't doing any segmented marketing or communication to them at all, or being proactive to help our people leaders be better at that.
Yep. All right, so now I'm going to take the lead here for just a few minutes. We're going to talk about what we did to reimagine our employee communications at Spire. So, as we alluded to, we're old, but we also made a lot of acquisitions. You know, going back to about 2014 or so, we acquired a number of gas companies and kind of branched off into some different kind of gas-related businesses, as I mentioned earlier. And all of those had their own brands, their own intranets, their own tools that they were using. So we kind of had this disparate, so some of the tools were old, some were kind of disparate and all over the place. So what we did was like set out with the goals to improve our company's culture, ensure that every employee, including all those folks that I mentioned that were in field-related positions, were informed and connected to each other. And then to set the stage for this, we took a step back and, kind of like you heard in the keynote this morning from John, thought like we gotta be informed. So we conducted research that kind of before we made any real decisions and things like that. So this research we did did a lot of focus groups across our footprint. We also did a quant survey as well to kind of gather information. And what we found were that employees wanted information that impacts them personally. So whether it's about enrolling in benefits, it's about updates to their uniform, they want that kind of information. They also want to learn about company policies. And I think a lot of us can relate to that as we went through the coronavirus pandemic recently. Like that, just the importance of that just keeps getting more and more. But they also wanted to hear from each other. They liked human interest stories. We're just in the process of rebranding, and they wanted to see a field worker in Alabama wears that same uniform as somebody in the Kansas City markets. They all wanted to kind of feel part of one company. But the biggest thing and the loudest thing that we heard was that employees didn't have a real way to get communication. So there's a real desire and, push to try to get mobile phones into the hands of our employee base. So with the research as a backdrop, we really set out to reimagine our employee communications tools, and I'll kind of show you a little bit about that. So the first thing we did was we focused on mobile devices, company-issued smartphones. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. We also looked into different options for mobile intranet. We wanted to have something that was mobile-friendly. We ended up with First Up, but at the time, we weren't sure what that was going to look like. It took a lot of research and thinking, like, what that experience would be like for our employees. We revamped our employee newsletter. We used to, and I've heard a few folks yesterday when we were at a breakout table talking. We had an old school newsletter. It took about 8 hours to put it together in Word, a little piece by piece, rewriting everything, lots of links and formatting issues and Outlook issues. So we've revamped our newsletter. We've expanded our digital signage now to any location with at least 15 seated employees. So we've got over 50 locations now that have digital signage at their facilities. We launched a really cool program too, and Chris from my team's here was there with me and helped with that. It's called the Communications Captains Program. And we've got about 100 communications captains across our footprint. And those folks are very connected in their teams. They're very connected in their work locations. We give them advanced information. We invite them to the same calls that our people leaders are on so that they're kind of the first to know things and the ones that are really sharing information on the ground with their teams and others. And then we formalized our supervisor communications. As Jill alluded to, we didn't really have really anything formal other than maybe sort of, HR-related functional things that we were going out to that group, but we really formalized that group. We call them the Spire 500 now. It's anyone with at least one direct report or more on their team, and we have targeted communication that goes to them. And again, looking back at our research, we found that direct supervisors were kind of that common link in terms of not getting information, particularly to those that worked in our field positions. And we did a lot more, but that's just a few of the highlights.
All right, so comms did their research, so then my team went and did our research too. So we did lots of qualitative interviews, we did focus groups, we did some quantitative studies, and at the end of the day, it wasn't surprising to us what rose to the top. So we knew our employees had development needs. They had told us that, but we didn't know how to go about designing programs or solutions and give them tools that they really needed. So when we went through all the data, what we realized really quickly is they want a one-stop shop. I think we all want that in terms of whenever we want to go out for things that we need. So they wanted a one-stop shop where they could get all the development tools they need, they could put all the requests in, they could see what was being offered, they knew the time it took, they wanted it in a bunch of different modalities. So I have one person who wants self-paced learning, I have another who wants instructor-led, I have another who wants computer-based, but we didn't offer any of that. We basically had a couple videos and that's what they were served. They also told us that they wanted customized delivery, so not always off the shelf. So what works in the field for us, for the line workers, doesn't necessarily work for the finance department. So a lot of leaders said to us, hey, we love what you offer, the few things that you do, but we need it really customized to be applicable to our people, because they walk out of those trainings and they think to themselves, how do I apply that to my job? We were also told that we needed some programs that really bridged field ops for us and the people, I always say, who sit at desks, right, or shared services office workers. There's often a silo for us in the natural gas industry, I would guess in a lot of utilities. You need a bridge between them, right? So we started developing programs that would bring field and office workers together. And then lastly, we didn't have any way to track completions or enrollments for people. It was like old school, pass around a sign-up sheet, right? I mean, sign-up genius seems like a miracle. So at the end of the day, what we did was they said, hey, we got to find a way that when I type in my employee's name, my direct report, I can see all the things that they've taken this year or enrolled in or completed, because I can't keep all of those on my own as a people leader. So here's what we did. The first thing we did was we created a learning management strategy, right? We had to come up and figure out what is the right LMS for us. We had something that existed before. I wouldn't call it an LMS. I would say it was about 20 or 30, maybe it was more than that, just videos, right? It wasn't interactive. You couldn't put in requests. You couldn't track it by competency. It was just these existing videos. So we went in and said, what do we do to give our employees exactly what they want? What we did was we came up with a curation strategy that would give people a multitude of tools, right? So we investigated different vendors like Open Sesame, which is a vendor that offers hundreds of courses based on competency or skills. We realized we wanted to pull them in. We pulled in TED Talks. We talked to them because we had a lot of employees saying, I'm very inspired by things like TED Talks. Can you give us some for the people on our team for that? We also partnered with edX, which is an organization or a company. It's founded by MIT and Harvard, and they offer university-level classes for free to employees. So what we did was we came back and said, hey, we're going to give you an LMS that has a variety of different sources in it so we can meet all of your needs. And we continue to evaluate those and add those along the way. We also looked at my team's universal training approach. It used to be we offer the following XYZ, like a McDonald's menu, right? Here's what it is. And instead, what we did was we spent a good year going through what we offered and did some surveys to figure out, should we still offer these developmental programs? How should they change or be optimized? And what are we missing that we need to include? We went back and looked at what we offered, and we started doing different kinds of learning modalities. I will tell you, the gut when I came to Spire 6 years ago was that, since it was somewhat of an old sleepy gas company, was that everybody wants everything in person. And I mean, that is somewhat true. But the truth of the matter was we had just as many people saying, like, I'll do computer-based training, please just offer it to me, right? So we spent a lot of time looking at what we had that we did in person, what we could offer computer-based, and we did a lot of pilots where we had people come in and actually take those and rate those for us to tell us if that was the right way to do it for employees. We've done a lot of customized quarterly training programs, so we have about 10 different groups or teams across Spire. Some are 50 people, some are 20, where we actually do a cadence of every quarter we come in and do some kind of developmental learning for them. It's a year-long program. It usually goes through instructor-led. There's some computer-based, there's some self-paced, but it's the way that we've been reaching out to do those customized offerings. And then lastly, which was big for us, is we started doing level 4 surveys. What we did before was we were really good at asking you, did you like the content? Did you like the instructor? We were great at that. We were okay at saying, what did you know before and what do you know after? But what we never did was say, how did your behavior change afterward? And that's really what we need to know, right? So what we did was we created level 3 and level 4 surveys that did just that. So now they're automated through our LMS. So you'll sign up for any program or any course. You'll take it. You'll rate the content and the instructor, of course. We'll rate your knowledge from pre to post, but ultimately the biggest key learning for us is for you to tell us how your behavior's changed and for your manager to tell us how your behavior's changed. Based on that, then my team can come up with an ROI on how that really performs. So those have been big evolutionary breakthroughs for us.
Yep. And so Jill had her research and her plan in place. I had my own research and plan in place with my team. And what we really found, and you can skip ahead, is just, you know, to work together. So what we found was, like, we need to work together as, like, one team, because we had some goals that overlapped and some that didn't. I had the tools to help Jill. Jill had some things that we could help promote. So we worked together, just like you could see, like peanut butter and jelly.
So if you fast forward to today, we'll show you where we've ended up.
Yeah, and these are just a few of the highlights. Of course, there's hundreds of things we could talk about, but yeah, so I mentioned the flip phones earlier. If you look back to 2016, about a third of folks had company-issued devices. We worked very closely with our ITS department, who also a great partner of ours in our department. And now over 95% of employees have company-issued devices. And they're not flip phones. They are iPhones.
Step in the right
direction. Oh, yeah. So then we had that traditional intranet, the Oracle-based one I mentioned earlier. At that time, we would post usually about one long-form article, you know, again, old school, kind of written, got nice quotes, written like it was for a newspaper, you know, 20 years ago. And then we'd have a couple little short kind of things that you'd need to know that we would also kind of post. And that was about it. Now, with the social course, now First Up platform, we've been able to really like take that to a new level. We also have employees submitting content to us, so it's just been night and day from where we were back then.
So this is what our learning management system looks like, one page of it. And so what we've done is we've segmented it to be very different. We've put the accountability back onto the employee. So I will tell you, 6 years ago, the accountability really rested on my team. So if someone asked for a DISC workshop or five behaviors of a cohesive team workshop or some kind of essential skill training, what would happen is we would find it for them, we'd do a sign up, we'd keep a list, we'd print it off, we'd do all those kind of things. We've done it different now. With our curation strategy, what we've done is we house everything in our LMS. So what that means is employees can search here for Open Sesame courses that they can take on their own. They can search by Spire-led training, meaning that my team is delivering it. And then ultimately, they can get all of their educational assistance in there too. What makes this unique is that the accountability is now on the employee. We want to empower our employees. We say that development is employee-driven and manager-supported, and we believe in that. And so the idea is now you can go onto this learning management system, which we call My Learning, and you go in and you can find anything that you want. You sign up there, you register, it puts it on your calendar, it tracks it in your employee development card. So at the end of the day, all of those hours of administrative work behind the scenes we're not doing, and the employee is completely accountable to get that on their own, which empowers them to continue taking courses. This is an example on the left of the antiquated videos I would tell you we had before. So we have totally evolved from that. And it's not only important to know, I think we got a better vendor for Open Sesame. It's been great for us. What is really important for us is using the First Up app, we have started to do what we call learning collections. So what we do is every month we do an editorial calendar. This is where the comms and talent development relationship comes in handy. So what we do is we do an editorial calendar looking ahead for what topics we want to cover and what months. My team then looks through the Open Sesame courses to determine what kind of collections can we put together to support whatever the organizational drive is for that month or the mission or the initiative we're supporting. You'll see here, We Learn Wednesdays, that's one of the ones we've done. But these collections we promote twice a month, and what we've seen is a 368% increase in the enrollment and participation of courses and the completion of courses since we started doing this almost 6 months ago. So we know that our employees, they like when things are in a category. You've curated them together for them, and it's supporting an overall mission for Spire. On the right, you'll also see that there's the digital delivery of everything, and then what we're offering is different learning styles. We know that's what our employees wanted, and we wanted to make sure we offered as many of those as we could. And then lastly, so certificates. You think the one on the left's a joke. It's not. That's what it used to look like, somewhat, right? Like old school, I'll say dot matrix printer, right? Whatever it was. But you completed a course. Here's a certificate. Put it on your desk like it's 1974, right? What we do now is totally different. So I don't even think of certifications that way. I think of certifications as some of the programs we offer. So we are partners with edX, which I mentioned before. And again, this offers micro master's classes and regular classes and degrees. The company pays for it, but then it's free to employees. And what that does is that gives an opportunity to take classes from Harvard, MIT, wherever you want, and get degrees online that way. Those are certifications. And then we also have partnerships with these are just some of the universities, SLU, Park University, University of Arizona, Webster. Those are some where we have actual Spire educational assistance programs. Everyone at Spire gets $6,000 a year to go to school and get their degree starting on day one. We encourage everyone to do that. So we took part of our LMS to make sure we focus on that. We continually go through to see what kind of new partnerships we can establish in all of our geographies. Like Justin said, we're in three different states, and we used to be five different companies, so we want to make sure we're offering to everyone. But we just completed an education week. It was virtual online to let employees know about the tuition discounts we get and things like that, and we've seen a surge in participation. We've had almost 75 people enroll in the University of Arizona online accelerated program to get their bachelor's degree. We had our first person graduate from HR, actually, which is really exciting. She'd been there about 20 years and had not finished her degree. So we're seeing enrollment go off the chart. So for us, certifications went from being a printed piece of paper now to being an empowerment of, we want you to get your degree, and how can we count the ways to help you get there at whatever university you think is right for you? Mm-hmm. So back in 2016, I think I've already mentioned this, there wasn't a lot of talk between talent development and our employees. It was pretty much an email of, can you help me with this? But we weren't very proactive with what we could do. So thanks to the first, thanks to our new app, one of the channels on Inspire, we call it Inspire, is called Fuel Your Career, and this is my team's channel. So what we do is we post every day, Monday through Friday every day, not on the weekends, but we post everything from inspirational quotes to publicizing some of the offerings or workshops that we have. If you see on the right, we celebrate a lot of our employees. So up at the top is Stacy Bittner, who was our first graduate from the University of Arizona Global Campus. It was a big deal. We celebrated her and did a whole article on her. We have a book club that we support. You'll see at the bottom, empathy is the most important leadership skill according to research. I curate a lot from Harvard Business Review, Forbes, Fast Company, you name it, LinkedIn. Justin knows, I got a whole list of
them.
Yes, you do. But the idea is that we do it every day. So the idea is that it's compelling content, it's timely, it's relevant, people come back every day, and the idea is that it inspires you in some way. So whether you are a leader of people, a leader of a project, an individual contributor, the CEO, the idea is that this content is constantly changing, and we're getting a halo effect, because we're working with Jen and Chris and Justin from the communications team to say, hey, for the next quarter or next month, this is what I'm planning. They're going to tell me what they're planning, and then we're going to work together to figure out how we publicize that, because we get a halo from them, and they get a halo from us.
Yeah. And so now, with all these tools in place to help Jill and the talent development team, we have a multi-channel approach. So even within the My Learning platform, you can see there on the right side here, there's suggested modules. That's a place where we can promote some things, if you want to skip ahead. We've got the Fuel Your Career channel. So those were a few highlights before. This is just a snapshot from whenever we took the snapshot. But you can kind of see what that looks like, too. We've got our we call it Spire TV. This is our digital signage I mentioned. We've got it at 50 locations. We use this to heavily promote some of the course offerings from Talent Development and other programs that they have. And then we've got, again, just a few other examples, our weekly newsletter. I found one where we had a talent development story and kind of the lead spots. You can see what that looks like. We've got our communication to our Spire 500, those supervisors and managers I mentioned earlier. And then, you know, we got a little touch of that old school left, too. So we do print off some create flyers and have folks print those off and hang those on bulletin boards, too.
So analytics are extremely important. Before we had no analytics, I probably could have told you who went to a certain course on a certain date, because that's all the information I have. With Fuel Your Career, I have more data and analytics than I know what to do with, and I thank Jen Ellis because she calls through those every month for me. But the idea is this, I show you this because this really helps me figure out what we post the next month. It is my benchmark. I'm willing to try new things. Jen suggests them. Sometimes I hate doing them. Like, I hate doing a poll, and she knows it. but the idea is we try different things, right? Because we know what works and what doesn't work. We know that any video I do with an employee goes off the charts, right? People love to celebrate their colleagues. So we try to do a lot of that to really advocate for cross-functional moves. But with this data that we get every month, we know the viewers, I know how long they spend on the site, I know what their engagement rate is, I know that my channel is the number one channel because of the ones you have to opt into that aren't mandatory to be subscribed to. I know looking forward, that data helps me really figure out what works and what doesn't work. And I will tell you, you will see the numbers go up continually over the last year because each month is a new optimization for me, which really helps. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of other analytics, Open Sesame, we know that it's working. So the idea is it's not just that we have a new vendor with this great knowledge base that I flow into my learning management system. What it is that I'm publicizing it now. I'm putting it into categories for my employees. I'm making sure it's relevant around whatever my organization is supporting. And because of that, we're seeing that almost every learner has 7 enrollments, that their completion is about 87%. And then we ask employees to rate courses, and they're being rated 4.4 or above on a 5.0 bench. And what I think is really important about this is every quarter, I have someone on my team who goes through Open Sesame, and what we do is we look at the courses that have been taken, and then we look at the courses that haven't been taken. We look at the ratings, we look at our competencies, our behaviors, our values, and we scrub those lists all the time. At the beginning of this year, from January to July, one person on my team spent the bulk of their time on that, and we had about 600 courses. We got rid of 300. Some have never been taken. Why do we have them, right? Mm-hmm. Some don't match with our competencies. Others were rated low. So the idea for me is I'd rather have a menu with 10 amazing things on it than a menu of 1,000 just subpar menu items. And that's the curation strategy we're trying to keep up. I think the other thing that's really interesting for us is what continues to go off the charts are essential skills. That is what, at least at Spire, where the developmental, I think, fuel comes from for them. Not that they don't want certifications in project management or agile and all that stuff. That definitely happens too. But what you'll see is these are always some of the highest engaged posts you'll see or requests we get. Things like how to have better conversations, how to navigate difficult situations, reconciling differences, building trust, things like that. So I say that because without the data from Fuel Your Career and without us publicizing or working with comms, we wouldn't know that, and I think we'd kind of be throwing a dart at a dartboard. So now I feel like we're much more targeted, and that's why you see our engagement and our optimization rates go through the roof.
Yep. And I think kind of going back to like this that pre-research moment that I talked about from 2016, where we had all these disparate brands coming in together, we brought them all together, we did the research, we applied the research, and I think you could see the success with talent development. But I think also if you take it up a level as well, we've seen huge improvements in our company culture as well. And I feel directly like this platform and all the tools we have in place have directly impacted that. So when you look at things like two-way communication, that's been a major focus for our company over the past few years. I think that really helps validate some of that supervisor communication that we've amplified just, you know, since kind of right before the pandemic. We've also seen positive growth on things like there's open communication across Spire. I have the tools, like the iPhones, the tools that I need to do my job well. So I think it's been just a huge success. I don't think we could have done it without, you know, figuring out what those needs were that we had across our company.
And we're still working on it, right? So every day is an improvement area for us. Every day is an optimization of what we can do better. We still have people in the field that will say they don't open the app, right? Like, we know that. We mm-hmm. acknowledge that. I'm not going to stand up here mm-hmm. and pretend we have 100% engagement and optimization. But I'll tell you this. Every day, one more person does. And every yeah. day, the more people that do, the more they talk about it. We spend a lot of time in talent development before every session talking about get out your phone. This is where you get company information. So we just wanted to spend the time today to walk you through. We feel like we've evolved and come a long way from where we were 6 years ago and look forward to what the future is. But we really believe that going digitally for us has really been transformational, and it's been a great ride to watch it grow. We can't mm-hmm. wait to watch it grow further.
Yeah. All right.
Excellent. Thank you both so much. We have a couple of minutes. Does anybody have any questions for Jill and Justin? All right.
Cool.
Hi, my name is Laurel. I work for Service Corporation International in Houston, Texas. So I kind of have two questions. So one, how did you get leadership to buy into providing smartphones for your associates? And then also, how do you find that they're using the app, like, as opposed to the desktop? Because that's something that we really struggle mm-hmm. with. We have a largely field-based workforce as well.
Yeah.
And we're finding that people are still using the desktop more mm-hmm. than the app.
Yeah, I could take that. So we have, you know, my boss, who is just a superstar, she's wonderful. She reports direct to our CEO. So we've always had this open line direct to our CEO. It's helped. She understands the importance of communication, and I think that wouldn't be the case if our team wasn't structured as we were. So between that and just the great relationships we've had with ITS, we really just, you know, was not a hard sell, I'll be honest. Like, once we kind of laid out the case for, like, this is what the folks want, again, going back to the research, and this is where we want to be in 4 or 5 years, I think it was an easy case to make for us.
I think the ROI sell helps, right? Like, mm-hmm. here's where we can see the future going. Here is the efficiency of ours, what this helps. That's right. It's a long-term strategy, right? But I think you yeah. can see it at the end.
And you know, two things to the second part of your question. So one, it's something I didn't mention earlier. So we did do the company issue devices, but our IT department also has a, like, it's called the hub on the iPhone. So we push apps out. And so on day one, you get your phone handed to you, and you've already got our, we call it Inspire, the Inspire app on your phone. It's the same login username that you use to log in to your computer and to all the other systems. So it's all single sign-on. It's very simple and easy to do.
And we integrate it. So my team does the onboarding. So we integrate it in our onboarding program. So the idea is when you leave mm-hmm. there, you know that's the place you can go to get all the information you need, because we realized really quickly adoption's higher when it's someone's first day, because they're like, oh God, what do I need to know, right? So the idea is, I think we try to integrate that mm-hmm. app into most of the things that we do, so the usage rate is higher.
Yeah.
And what about mobile
version? I'll say, yeah, the desktop version still rocks compared to the mobile version. Yeah. But we do see, you know, over half of employees using mobile. There's some overlap, right? So the desktop might be in the 70%. The mobile might be around the 50-55 range on any given month. But we do have ways to also sort the part of the, you know, when we set this up too, is what data are we feeding into the studio platform? So we have a field that's union, non-union too. And we rely on that a lot too to kind of study what's working with our union base versus kind of everybody else too.
Yeah. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right, good.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Savannah Reese. I work for Dot Foods. And my question is, do you link to your LMS in the app or in the platform? So I'm specifically asking about mobile, I guess, mm-hmm. versus the web experience. And then if so, how do you feel first up connects with the LMS? Like, are there extra login steps? Do you feel like it's too many clicks to get there, et cetera, et cetera?
Can never so, be if you can not, yeah, you know,
never,
go ahead.
Never.
Yeah.
I wish it was. So we have on your phone too, SuccessFactors is what we use, right? So you can go in there and load your courses through mm-hmm. that too. It's a lot of clicks.
But it's also linked through.
It is linked
through Inspire. So Inspire, when we launched Inspire,
yeah.
we took that old Oracle intranet and we just drove a stake right through it and took it out. And our intranet is the first up platform.
Which is awesome. So you can get there. That is a lot less clicks, right? But mm-hmm. you can definitely search in there. If you complete it on there, it tracks it for your employee record. So everything is housed in that app. Yep. Mm-hmm. Which has helped.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions? Yeah.
Hi, you had mentioned about your communications captains.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested in hearing maybe a little more, because we're thinking about doing something similar. Were there specific challenges, or is it helpful nowadays?
That's probably a whole 30-minute breakout on its own. But
you can do it quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, back when we were looking at, like, that data where folks weren't feeling like they had the information we need, we saw it as an opportunity to, like, just... You know, we'd hear like, oh, at our Berkeley, Missouri office, Melody Allen, she's the one that's really gathering all that information, and she's printing off our CEO's letters and like handing it to people. So we kind of quickly identified who those folks were who were already kind of connected, or where there were gaps where we didn't have them, and really just met with them. We went out, we did some trainings. Chris and I did a roadshow. Jen, now who's here with me too, helps run that program now. We're planning another roadshow to go out. But just trying to like train them, like, here's the information you're going to receive, this is the type of format it's going to come in, and here's what we want you to do with it. So they're doing some things like printing and hanging those bulletin board flyers I mentioned, but they're also like taking emails from us, and some of them forward them to our team. So my team is all, you know, desk-based, so somebody in our department forwards it out to our whole department. But then there's some folks who maybe print those and they pin those on the board, or there's some supervisors or managers that maybe take that information and they'll share it at a team huddle in the morning, or some other format, a safety meeting or something of that nature. Does that help? Okay.
Thank you both so much for joining us today. This was fantastic.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks everybody.